there was a time and a place where I've preached about this many times, and I was up at the very foot of my stairs, and as I was walking down my stairs, my heart just broke, and I said, God, I cannot take one more day of what is going on in my life. And you know what? In that moment, that's how I felt. Feelings are not facts. You can feel a lot of ways. In that moment, I felt like I literally could not take no more. Guess what? I could take more, and I did. And guess what? It's a part of why I can stand behind here today and be a strong woman of God, because you know what? I have things up inside of me that I didn't even realize that I had, and it was a strength that can only come from God. And I'm telling you this morning that if you are in a depression or if you're somebody that deals with that, you have got something inside of you, and it's the living God, and God is up in there, and He dwells inside of you, and He says that you can take it. And not only can you take it, but you can dwell there in a rich place. Even in the middle of disaster, God can help you to live in victory. Not everything in your life is going to be easy. People will come against you. Things will happen. Jobs will go away. Problems will come. But there is something inside of you that when you've breathed your first breath, God put it inside of you. And see, it's your decision every single day how you're going to live. Yeah, you can live in a depressed state, and I'm not preaching against depression, because look here, depression is found in the Word of God. People have dealt with it from the very beginning. But see, God's kids can be free, and they can go on and have a good, wholesome life. You don't have to stay in depression. Now, how can I preach it? Because I am living it. That's how I can preach it. I have my moments where I can feel it trying to come over me. And there is something that I have learned that wants to rise up and say, you know what? No, in the name of Jesus, I will not allow these thoughts to come in this brain. You've got to have that thing inside of you that says, you know what? I see the devil for what he's trying to do in this moment, in this situation, and I will not allow it. So here's Moses, and I'm going to tell y'all, it's okay to say, God, this is too heavy for me. God, it's too much. If that's how you feel, tell God about it. Tell Him. I cannot carry all these people by myself. The burden is too heavy for me. If this is how you are going to treat me, put me to death right now. Now, this sounds kind of like one of my hissy fits. How many of you ever felt like God was mistreating you? That's not a sin to say. There have been times where I have wondered, God, I didn't even create these problems that I'm living in. Why have you done this to me? I feel like that's a normal thing. It's normal to say, God, why are you putting me through this? Now, you can't stay in that state of mind, but it's okay to ask God. And Moses asks him, put me to death right now if that's how you're going to treat me. If I have found favor in your eyes, and do not let me face my own ruin. See, God's not going to let you face your own ruin. He's not brought you this far to leave you. The Lord said to Moses, bring me 70 of Israel's elders who are known to you as leaders and officials among the people. Have them come to the tent of meeting that they may stand there with you. And I'm going to tell you something. In your life, every single one of you, you need what I would like to call a board of directors in your life. And you best pick them very carefully. Amen. The Word didn't say, now just go get any other person. He said, no. You get people that you consider leaders and officials, and you bring them there for a purpose. Now see, One of the hardest lessons in your life that you will learn is how to pick your people. How to pick those people that are going to be close to you. How to leave some people that are only going to hurt you at bay. Because there ain't nothing going to get you up in a depression quicker than somebody that you done brought up into your emotions and you love, and then they turn around and stab you up in the back. See, God will put people in your life, and so will the devil. Not everybody that's in your life is meant to be there permanently. So God says, bring the leaders and bring the officials. I will come down and speak with you there, and I will take of the spirit, Moses, that is on you, the spirit of heaviness, the spirit of depression. I will take it and put the spirit on them, and they will help you carry the burden of the people so that you won't have to carry it alone. I cannot tell you how thankful that I am for the people that God put in my life that are very, very close to me. There's not a lot of them, but the ones that are with me, they're with me. They're close to me. They sit on my board of directors in my life. And if it were not for them, I wouldn't have been able to get through some of the worst points in my life. See, God will place people in your life, and they will help you to carry the burden. Don't have people in your life so close to you that they're going to only harm you all the time. There's people that every time you turn around, they're going to grieve the heck out of you. You're going to have to learn to not have them up real close to you unless you just want to be grieved all the time. There's people, when you are around them, you're going to feel better about your life. You're going to feel positive. You're going to feel like, you know what, I can really do this. Those are your people. Those are your folks. They're going to be with you through thick and thin. When I'm with somebody, I don't got to sit there and think, am I with them? I'm with them through hell and high water. When they're wrong, I'm with them. When they're right, I'm with them. When they're crying, I'm crying with them. When they're rejoicing, I'm going to rejoice with them. A lot of depression revolves around people. You cannot control people. Why? Because they can't even control themselves, and neither can you. Neither can I. Pick your people very wisely. Because nothing will break you harder than that. So you're not a bad Christian when you admit that some things are just too much. It doesn't mean that you've failed in your walk with Christ when you say, this is hard for me. There's so much religion that goes on in the Christian world. There's so much church politics. Well, if that person was a better Christian, this stuff wouldn't be happening to them. Oh, if they would have just done right, they wouldn't be dealing with that sadness. You know what? Away with that. You know, none of us know what goes on inside of everybody's life and behind closed doors. We can speculate all we want to, but at the end of the day, we don't know what is going on with people, so we don't even need to start judging them. What we need to do is pray for them. The other day I have to get alone with myself and have a discussion with me and all my personalities. And I went out to the pavilion that we got, and I got my new chair that's zero gravity, and I reclined back in it, and I said, Lord, help me, because I'm really having troubles right now. I said, God, on my own, I don't have compassion for this person, so God, in Jesus' name, I'm going to open up this heart, and I ask that you would put that compassion up in this heart for me and that person, because God, on my own, I ain't got it. But Lord, in Jesus' name, God, put me in a right spirit, because I don't know what's going on with that person. See, you can either get depressed over other people, or you can do the right thing and say, you know what, I don't know what's going on with them, but Lord, help them in Jesus' name. See, there's something inside of you that can help others if you'll choose to just be on a higher level than what you'd like to be. Sometimes I'd like to stoop down at the same level as some of my enemies. But you know what, Tierney? The truth of the matter is, honey, I done came too far to go back down there. Amen? Because if I start going to that, we're going to all be in trouble. Let's go to... I'm going to read over some of my notes. I think it's very important that we pick the right people to have really, really close to us. Because those people, they're going to help you in your life or they're going to hurt you in your life. You got to pick them so carefully, and I cannot stress that enough. You can't have people in your life that are going to be yes men and they're going to just say yes to every dumb thing that you decide you need to do. Those people, you got to love them, but they ain't going to give you great advice, because every harebrained idea that you come up with, they're going to be like, that's great. No, you need somebody to be like, what are you thinking? That's the dumbest thing you've come up with yet. I remember several years ago, 6, 7, 8 years ago, I had woke up and I felt a lump in my chest. And I went over to my mom and dad's house, and in my brain, I was thinking some things. And I sat down on the couch, and I looked at my dad, and I told him. And he said something very profound to me that most people would have gotten very offended at. You see, look here, you're going to either be easily offended or you're going to be teachable, and you're going to make that choice. Here's what he said to me, Kayla. He said, look, I know what that sounds like, but I'm not going to sit here and boo-hoo with you on the couch about it, because, see, we ain't got that type of luxury. Dry it up and go on with your life. Get it checked, but don't expect me to get all emotional with you about it, because, see, we ain't got time for that. And look here. I didn't get offended over that. I thought, you know what? He's right. What did I do after that? I began to talk to the devil. I said, you know what, devil? You don't have the right to come up inside of this body and to wreak havoc on this body. So in Jesus' name, I'm going to go on with myself. I'm going to get it checked. But devil, just know that irregardless of whatever it is, I'm going to still be out here doing what God's told me to do. Amen. See, are you slowed down just because of you get a hiccup on something? You know, keep yourself going. What does depression want to do? It wants to keep you on that couch. Literally. That's what it wants to do. How can I preach about that? I have lived it. I have lived it. Probably the worst depression that I was ever in my entire life was about 4 years ago. And I had never been through something that gut-wrenching in my life. And for 3 days, I laid there on the couch and I could not do anything. I could not take a bath. I could not feed my children. I just could not. And I just began to just cry out to God and I said, God, I don't think that this is ever going to be right. I don't think that I can do it. And I don't feel like I can go on. And God began to just pour over grace. And by that third day, I could just smell myself and I stunk up to high heaven. And the day I got off of that couch, God said, Kelly, may you never forget this feeling. Because if you can use it And if you can minister to other people, you can help them get out of the depressions that they're in. But if you forget where you came from, I cannot use you. I felt like I ran a marathon that day just by getting up off of the couch. But I got off of that couch, and Cindy, as I began to walk in my kitchen, I remember right where I fell to my knees, and I just began to pray. What is depression? Depression is the thing that wants to pull you away from your God. The depression is the thing that wants to pull you away from your family and your children and your obligations and everything that you love. It's the thing that makes you not want to pray to God because you're mad at Him. I'm going to ask you to put your feelings to the side and do what David did in the middle of his depressions. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be on my mouth. Not the mouth of Sally Sue, see, that don't know what she owes to God, but no, on the lips of my mouth, God, they're going to be on my mouth, because come hell or high water, God, I'll praise you, Lord. If I don't get an answer to that prayer, God, I'm still going to praise you. Lord, if something doesn't come through for me, God, I'm still going to praise you. Why? Because you've been good to me. See, don't forget what God's done, because see, God is not done with what He's promised you were going to get out of this life here on earth, but you're going to have to press in. And when those feelings of grief want to come and rest on you, you got to have that thing inside of you that says, no, this is not the end. I am going to make it through, and I will come on the other side of this, and when I do, I'll be better than what I was when this whole thing got started to begin with. I remember standing up here after my divorce, and I remember thinking I was the biggest failure of my life, and the devil was telling me, you will never be the same, and he was right. Better. Better. Why? Because now I'm not judging people that have had a divorce. That's why. That's why. Am I over it? No. Does it still devastate me? Every single day. Do I understand things that I never understood before then? Yes, I do. Can I sit here today as a strong woman of God and tell you that it's going to be okay? Yes, I can. Hallelujah. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 12 and 25. Anxiety in a man's heart causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. Anxiety in a man's heart causes depression. What is the definition of anxiety? Intense, excessive, and persistent worry and fear about everyday situations. The feeling of dread and uneasiness. Anxiety in a man's heart causes depression. That's how we get started. Anxiety. But a good word makes it glad. Right here, right in God's word, gives you a diagnosis, and it gives you a prescription. Anxiety in a man's heart will cause depression. What's going to help that? A good word, a good encouraging word. That word is going to come from you. See, there's a part that you have in this. Everybody self-talks. We all talk to ourselves. You're either going to tell yourself that it's getting better, that you're going to make it, that you can do it, that this is not the end, or you're telling yourself defeat and failure. And you're going to have to decide what you're going to breathe into your own life. A lot of people self-prophesy and they don't even know what they're doing. They're speaking curses on their own life. They speak curses on their family. They speak curses on their children. over their household, over their finances. Be very careful what you speak over your life, because you have the power of life and death in your tongue.
Amen. Bible.
Some of my most depressed moments were because I was living out what I done said was going to happen. Well, guess what? David said, I will sing a new song. If you're a negative Nancy, you're going to have to figure out how to sing something else, because the tune you've been singing ain't working. What is the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. Change it up. Be a positive Polly. Positive Polly. You can't afford to sit there and tell yourself certain stupid things. Why? Because certain stupid things are going to happen once you done say them. Don't be speaking failure into your life. Now, but a good word makes it glad. Anxiety in man's heart causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. You're not less of a Christian when you go through depression, when you go through sadness. I'm going to say something, and this probably is going to shock a lot of people, but when I answered the call of God on my life, God told me that He wanted me to be different. And that's something, Miss Rita, that I've always really had to yield to. My fourth grade teacher wrote something on my report card, and I'll never forget it, and neither will my mama. And it was this: Kelly is just weird. She's just a weird girl. That's all I've really got to say about her. That was her conclusion of me after spending a year with me. She's weird. I'm still weird. But I'm an awesome weirdo. I can preach about depression because I have really lived it. A lot of people would not think that about me. People think I got it all together. And I feel sorry for them when they start thinking that. That's just people being judgmental of me. I don't got it all together. But God will call the biggest, loudest blabbermouth to yell it from the rooftop, because God knows who will be obedient and who won't. Two separate times over the last 5 years, I dealt with depression really, really bad. And I began to pray, and I said, God, what do I need to do? And God said, Kelly, I want you to go to a Christian counselor. And I did that. And I want to say, from the ministry on down, from the pulpit on down, it's okay when you need help. It's okay to say, I need some help. There's times when you're drowning, and it's okay. There's a stigma on people to go to counseling or to go to a therapist or to do this or to do that. That stigma needs to leave. I'm not saying don't go to God first. I went to God first, and I'm just telling you out of my own life what God told me to do. And I thought, well, God, I'm a pastor. I counsel people all the time. I can counsel myself. Well, no, I couldn't. No, I couldn't. One of my counselors told me something, and the moment that they said it, I realized why God told me to go. But a good word makes it glad. But a good word, an encouraging word, will make it glad. God will put people in your life. Maybe it's just for a season. Or maybe they're there with you for the long haul. But I was a sloppy mess, and I sat down on that couch, and I was ashamed. That felt really stupid, because I thought, I can help everybody else, but I can't even help myself. And he said, I'm going to minister to you, and I'm going to go off of the grid, which isn't something that I usually do. He said, but as I've sat here and I've listened to you, I feel like God is telling me to tell you that for your whole life, you have broken the mold in every aspect of your life. And if you will just do that in the one area that God keeps telling you over and over and over, you're going to get through this. And I said, well, what area is that? And he said, the area where you care about what everybody thinks. Depression is real. Anxiety is real. If more people would minister about it, if more people would talk about it, people could get free. There are people with mental health issues. You know, you can believe a lie and be damned. Do you know how many people believe something that is not the truth? People go around and they believe things. They're no more the truth than the man in the moon. But if they believe it, guess what? They're damned. People that believe God is a mean God. How's that going to pan out for them? God's not a mean God. This is a raw message, and I get that. And if you're old school and you think that people can just get over it and that's all that they got to do, well, I'm sorry. You're probably not enjoying this today. A good word makes it glad. This can come from yourself or others. People will prove to you who they are, and you should believe them. Where does a lot of depression come from? Other people and what they put you through? Right? How many of you have ever been through a trial that you didn't create, but nonetheless you had to walk through that trial of someone else's nightmare that they done decided to pull some nonsense on with you? You're going to have to learn how to go through that the biblical way, or it's going to bring about sadness and depression and anxiety and stress. One of the things that I have done, and you see this all in the Word, how many of you know that God wants you to enjoy your life? Do you know that? Do you know how important that is for you to enjoy your life? If you're miserable, you're going to make everybody else around you miserable. If you're toxic, you're going to make everybody around you toxic. I've done my best to cut out toxic people. There has to be time for you and God. You cannot go endlessly and expect to have a full cup. I've learned that, and I've learned it the hard way. I have a lot of people come up to me in town, and they'll say, you know, we never even thought you were a real person until you started showing us your pictures of your life and fishing and things. But it's very important for you to have things that you enjoy doing. God doesn't get any enjoyment out of seeing you miserable. Make time for you and God. Find your niche. Find something that you like to do and do it. You have to make time for yourself and you have to make time for God. I never in my wildest of imaginations thought I would ever live on a dirt road again. Being away from Sonic and ice cream at my 2 minutes away. I never thought I would love fishing or making pickles or boating or any of those things. But you'll be surprised how much joy that you can get out of simple things if you'll just allow yourself to have a moment. God wants you to enjoy your life. He doesn't want you sad and upset and depressed all the time. He really doesn't want you that way at all. Now, there's times that that's what's going to happen. You're going to have moments of sadness, seasons of grief. But He doesn't want you to live there. You're too special to Him. Make time. Make time. Every time I go out on the boat, I just well up with tears. Because I'm able to get away from all the noise, Brother Larry. And when I get out there, I just look around and I just tell God just how thankful I am. God will get you out of every depressed moment that you've ever walked through. Take Him by the hand and let Him walk you through it. Don't get mad at Him. Don't turn your back on Him. When hard things come up, you're going to have to press in and you're going to have to move forward. If all you did in a day was decide you're getting off of that couch, that's good enough. Get off the couch. Get in the shower. Get the stink off of you and make a decision that you're moving on, that you will not live in that place. Psalms chapter 16, verse 11. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Why am I telling you that you need time with just you and God? Because that's when the fill-up is going to take place. You will fill me with joy in your presence. You're not going to get filled with joy in any other place but in the presence of God. If you will not make room and time for you and God, you're going to run on empty very quickly. When you're running on empty, you're going to open that door for all sorts of emotions and things that are going to eat you up from the inside out. I can preach about that because for the first 3 years of my pastorhood, I overdid it. And by the fourth year, I felt it. And guess what? I didn't suffer burnout because I decided to do something about it. God doesn't want to run you into the ground. He wants to lift you up every day of your life. Make time for Him. Get in His presence. Let Him fill you up. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Some of you, what you need is a fill-up. You're running on empty. You need a fill-up. How are you going to get that? Get in His presence. Get in His presence. Let God minister to you. Get alone with Him. Tell Him exactly how you feel. Say, God, I'm in the middle of something and I feel like it's so heavy. I don't feel like I can do it. Look here, maybe you can't do it, but with Him you can. With God, all things are possible. Last place for me this morning, Matthew chapter 11. Verse 28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. What is the first step towards getting better? Coming to God. Come to Him. He doesn't say, come to me after you get yourself all prettied up. Come to me right now. If you're ugly, come to God. If your life's a mess, come to God. If everything's chaotic, come to Him. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. We have to learn how to live, and we learn that from God. Why? In Him we live, in Him we move, and in Him we have our being. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. We read where Moses said, the burden is too heavy for me. God, it's too much for me. It's okay to say that. Why? Because God will meet you right in that place where it's too heavy. I only do this when I feel the Holy Spirit minister it to me. Gentlemen in the sound booth, you can shut off our live. And I'm going to say to you this morning, if you are battling depression,